Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. And today, as we continue to celebrate November, the month of Barbados' independence, I want to salute one of the Barbadian stalwarts who has passed but still lives on in our memories. Who am I speaking about? No one else but the late, great Carson Small. Today, I will share an interview with you, which was done by one of his family members of the Salvation Army. So, take a listen as we remember and reflect on the good work that Carson Small did, not only in the disability community, but with the Salvation Army, with the St. Thomas and St. James communities, and of course, just the general contribution he made to the national development of our island home. So, take a listen.
Good morning, Brother Carson Small. This is Captain Paul having our interview with Brother Carson Small. Brother Carson Small, can you please tell us a little about yourself and your family?
I was born in 1942, August 29th to be exact, in a little country district by the name of Spring Farm in the parish of St. Thomas. I'm one of eight children. Five of the eight are alive. The other three are general of generals. He decided to take them back home. And I was privileged to go to school, always suffered impaired vision. And at the time of doing this interview, I had no sight of at all. My only hope to date is a miracle which I believe in. The Hilby McSchool, nicknamed Airycock because it was constructed in a very airy, windy area. I received my first education there under the headship of a guy called F.A. Skeet, deceased of course. And in 1952, I moved to St. James, Seaview, St. James to be exact, where I'm still living with my, well, my father and mother, both gone. I sort of live alone to a point. And my education continued in 52 at the St. Thomas Church Boys Anglican Church School. Most schools were Anglican. I left school around 59, 60. But my conversion, as far as the Salvation Army is concerned, that started, I think, in 58, under the leadership of, I think her first name was Edith Armstrong, a Jamaican. I remember very well, Sunday night, I went to the Army meeting. I was attending meetings backward and forward. But that Sunday night is when I went to an old-fashioned altar, which is still standing. And that and gave my life to Christ, and that is where and when my official army stint started.
Brother Carson Small, we have heard about your conversion, and now we want to go further now in your affiliation with the Salvation Army. Share with us some of the ways in which you have served your community over the years, especially in the region of the distribution of clothes in your community, etc.
My life of community work officially commenced by becoming a soldier in the Salvation Army through the Seaview Corps, St. James, Barbados. I always had a love for community work, but joining the Army, this was amplified, extended. And you name it, I have done it as far as community work is concerned. From bathing old people, collecting their oldest pension. There was a time when I had 16 pension cards, oldest pension cards in my possession. The recipients of those cards would never see them. When they wanted changing, I would take them to the welfare department in the parish, got them changed. Every Thursday morning, I would go to the post office, stand in line, collect those pensions, and then go across at the super center, which is still standing, shop for some of them, put a large card box of groceries on my shoulder, and walk to Seaview and hand out those groceries as I get from pensioner to pensioner. The clothing area came in later in life. when I saw the necessity of accepting used garments and other gadgets, including refrigerators, furnishing, etc., and would pass them out to recipients. And this has continued to this very day as we were doing the interview. I've got now at my place a refrigerator, used garments to be distributed over the weekend, and you name it. Thanks be to God, I entered radio in 1974, and that was tremendous in many ways because it gave me the opportunity to advertise the Salvation Army, which I always promised faithfully I would do. From the time I came into radio, I said, whatever little assistance I can give to the Salvation Army or the church in general, I will use that medium. And I'm glad to say that I never had any problems with management. They never even questioned what I was doing because I've got my own program. There were two programs, one I was involved in, which is not on air now, but one which caters specifically for the disabled. And I use that as a medium to advertise the Salvation Army, advertise community groups, advertise the church, and there's no cost to that. So every week I would put in a little thing what people need. Recipients would call me, members of the disabled fraternity, the poor and the needy, and say, well, I want X.
Yes.
We don't call names, but they put these gadgets out, and more often than not, we get them.
And what days do you go on
this
program?
This program is on every Monday morning at 9:30 a.m. I record on Wednesdays when I see it necessary to record because traffic today is so heavy.
Yeah.
I don't take the chance of asking people to come to do it live because very often they get there late. And as you would know, radio, television is time.
And that's on the gospel station.
This is on the what we call a secular station, VOB, Voice of Barbados, every Monday morning, 9:30.
Let's backtrack a bit. We know that you would have had affiliation with the radio, especially Radio Fusion. Tell us a little bit of your experience with the late Dame Olga Lope Seal.
Radio Fusion, for the younger listeners, came out of England. It was a little speaker, square-ish, table model, and the one we call, what we call the wall model, which you would find in the poorer homes because it costs a bit less. And the supermarkets, the then shops and so on, you would find them hanging on the wall. Even the schools carried them, a larger size, I guess for the sake of volume, so it could stretch across the classroom and so on. And they were in the Caribbean. You had them in Guyana, Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, and Barbados. That speaker was rented, and it carried one knob in the face, the bottom.
Yeah.
You could only turn on and off. All the switching to different stations outside of the Caribbean or Barbados came from the control. So that is what the box of itself looked like, the speaker. My affiliation with Dame Olga started around late 60s when she came to Barbados from the then British Guiana to live. And it didn't take me long, but then after hearing her on the air, to realize that this was a woman with a difference.
Amen.
She brought a program to Barbados called the Needy Children Fund, which I'm told had its birth in British Guiana, where she looked for the poorest section of society to assist children and adults alike. Hearing the program on radio, it was part of her daily program, which was called Woman's World, where you got as many tips as possible for the ladies, what to do, how to do it, and things like that. And there was always a section of that hour-long program slotted for the Needy Children Fund. I got a posse of youngsters together from my district because we had what was then the CVU Youth Group, which was housed in the Salvation Army. It was not a Salvation Army group, but I was given permission to use the Salvation Army Hall of CBU as our meeting place. And we hit the street doing house-to-house collection for the Relief Children, Needy Children Fund. And whatever money we collected, we took it to Olga, and that was our gift to that particular program. But our meeting became a life thing. I got fully involved in the program, whatever was being done as far as the program is concerned, I will be notified, and as long as I had the time, I will be in on it. And that lasted until August then.
Amen. That has been a force of encouragement for us as well. We know that she had a lot of inspirational poems inside the print media as well. And I'm sure your affiliation with her would have sent a message across Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean that we are still a driving force at this end in Barbados as well. And we move forward now to your leadership in your local area. We realize that you had great influence in your area with your close association with your distribution of clothes in community. We want to hear now from your spiritual point of view in terms of your former position as Corps Sergeant Major, and in terms of how that challenged you, first of all, and then what responsibilities you had to undertake.
In 1961, under the leadership of Hickford Smith, I think he came from Antigua, and at the time of doing this interview, he was still alive, retired because he had left the army and joined the Antiguan Defense Force. He was very, very ill recently. But under his leadership, I became Corps Sergeant Major. And this happened very quickly. I don't remember the dates or the years exact.
That's right.
But I started, I think, in 61 as Corps Sergeant Major. And I was enrolled as a soldier, I think, in the late 50s. So I had very little breathing space to do it on my own. But it wasn't done on my own, of course. It was divine guidance. The Corps was a small corps in my time and still remain small, but I'm told that the CVU Corps has a tremendous history before my time, because at one time they had an outpost, and this outpost was in a district called Morgan, officially known as Greenwich. The district is still there, still bearing the same names, and I'm led to believe that the church at CVU used to be full in those days. So much so they had this outpost, which was in the era of the late Brigadier Oliver Dadd. I think he, when he took up his post here in Barbados, D.C., it was either on its way out, outpost-wise, or had already gone, but it was more or less in his era. The challenge was a tremendous one for me, because it was my first opportunity at that level to do something like that. But God always has someone, the man or woman, for the occasion. And the small company of soldiers, the late Noreen Haywood, who was a driving force, and who could have been deemed my left hand, for want of a better term, she was always there, very faithful. She had other family members who, although not officially army members at that time, but they would always be there. It was a small Sunday school, and together with divine guidance, we carried the army flag, and we were happy to do it. There were challenges, of course. Those were the days when we had the gas lamp, and you had to, and by the best of your gas to put into it. It carried what we call a mantle. You lit the mantle, and while lighting that mantle, and you accidentally touched it, that was the end of you and that, because it would break, and you would have no more light. And I remember when the Home League, when the Home Leaguers met, my job was lighting the lamp. And some used to comically refer to me as Sister Small, because as you would know, the Home League is for ladies, or members of the female sex. And that was good. We had some wonderful programs. Harvest was a big, big thing in those days, when people would bring their stuff, the days of Coconut and yams and potatoes and canes, to decorate the windows and the doors, which has changed tremendously in recent years. Harvest today is more of a cash thing than vegetables. Of course, we don't grow as much vegetables in Barbados as we used to. But with God's help, we made it. And up to now, the Corps is still open, although it's not deemed a Corps these days because of lack in numbers. We are still very good and holding our own. And if I would like to backtrack a bit, the used garment thing is a big thing with me, because it's a weekly thing. Right now I have garments home to be delivered. And the folk will come and collect those between them on the weekend, and I get them almost every week.
And they go to which parishes in Barbados?
Well, the part, this might interest you, we go as far as Christ Church. I've got people in Christ Church, as a matter of fact, St. Philip